Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson called The Blessings of Pentecost, and we have come to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, the text that we're using, the version of the Bible we're using in this study, is the American Standard Version that was published in 1901. Let me read to you Acts 2:38. From the American Standard Version. It says, Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now I have here in my hand another translation of the Scriptures. This was put out by the American Bible Union. And as I open the book, I can see this is the second revision. It's the Common English Version corrected by the Final Committee of the American Bible Union. The second revision. It came out in 1877. And it's very interesting how Acts 2:38 reads in this Bible put out by the American Bible Union. Let me read that. It says, And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be each of you immersed upon the name of Jesus Christ unto remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that difference? In the American Standard Version, it says, Repent and be baptized. In the Bible put out by the American Bible Union in 1877, it says, Repent and be immersed. You see, the translators knew what the Greek word meant, baptism. It's actually a Greek word that has been carried over into the English. The word baptized is not really a translation. It takes the Greek word that you would pronounce in Greek and gives you an English pronunciation of the Greek word and leaves it untranslated. But the American Bible Union, when they came out with their Bible, went ahead and translated the word, and they knew what it meant. Repent and be immersed. Now we're going to be discussing that as we look at this Sunday school lesson, because a lot of people think they've been baptized and they haven't. Now someone says, well, that's just the way they translated it. But you know, you will never find an English translation of the Bible, a translation from the Greek into the English. You'll find them where they commonly say be baptized. It's only rarely that you'll see a translation that will say, be immersed, but you will never find a translation that says, repent and be sprinkled, or repent and have water poured on you, or have water sprinkled on you. It is always either translated to be baptized or be immersed, because the word means immersed. A simpler word might be dip. To be baptized, repent, and be dipped in water for the remission of your sins. Well, we'll look at that as we look at this Sunday school lesson, and we'll see what Elam says about it in Elam's notes. Before we get there, I need to remind you the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our eating house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's go to Elam's notes in this Sunday school lesson. He wrote these notes for the Sunday schools of April the 5th, 1925. And we've already read what he said about repentance It's a turning away in godly sorrow from all sin. I've heard it described this way. Repentance is a change of will that results in a change of ways. But it doesn't just say repent. It says repent and be baptized, every one of you. Be baptized means to be dipped, buried, immersed, overwhelmed. All Greek English lexicon so defined it. There is no other word in the Bible so well defined, and whose meaning has been so sought as this one. All religious people agree that one who has been immersed in faith and penitence in obedience to God has been baptized. Facts and circumstances in the Bible connected with obedience to this command show that the word means immersion. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 23 that much water is necessary in order to be baptized. You don't need much water to sprinkle water on someone's head, do you? Those who were baptized went out and came to the water, Matthew 3:5 and John 3:23. When people are sprinkled, a lot of times you can bring the water to them. But in the Bible, they went to the water because they were going to be immersed in the water. And they went down into the water, Acts 8 and verse 38. Going to the water and going down into it were necessary to baptism, but were not going to water and going down into it were necessary to baptism. Baptism was performed in the water. Matthew 3:6 and Mark 1:5-9 and Acts 8:38. Hence, Saul of Tarsus must arise in order to be baptized, Acts 22:16. And the jailer and his household left the house to be baptized. And when they had been baptized, they went back up into the house, Acts 16:34. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6 and verse 4, Colossians 2 and verse 12. So when the people were baptized in the river Jordan, they were buried. Thus John buried Jesus and Philip buried the eunuch. In baptism, the body is washed. Hence it is a washing, Hebrews 10 and verse 2. Titus 3 and verse 5, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. In John 3 and verse 5, it is called a birth. Hence, after people are baptized, they necessarily come up out of the water, Mark 1 and verse 10, and Acts 8:39, and they go away from the water, Matthew 3:16, and Acts 8:36. Or Acts 8:39. There is no question that the action of baptism as it is described in the New Testament will match the action of an immersion. It does not match the action of sprinkling or of pouring water over someone's head. In our efforts to obey God, we should always do that about which there can be no question or doubt. And as we just stated, everyone will agree that those who have gone down into the water to be baptized and were buried in the water and then came up out of the water have been baptized. No one disagrees with that. The problem comes when people try to substitute something else for that, like sprinkling or pouring. Now, they're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That means, while in faith, turning from their sins, they were baptized unto the remission of sins. And they must look to Jesus and rely upon His name for pardon and salvation. Now, let's discuss what we mean by the remission of sins. Remission of sins means release from sins, the pardon are the forgiveness of sins. For the remission of sins, as is given by the common version, means unto or into the pardon or forgiveness of sins, or in order that sins may be forgiven. There was a Baptist commentator named Hackett, and in his commentary on Acts it says, in order to the remission of sins. Again, he says, in order to the forgiveness of sins, referring to Matthew 26:28 and Luke 3:3. We naturally connect with both the preceding verbs. This clause states what the motive or object which should induce them to repent and be baptized. Broadus was a Baptist, and it Matthew 26:28 says of the same expression, for or unto the remission of sins, in order that sins may be remitted. Another Baptist commentator, Harvey, said, here repentance and baptism are represented as leading to the forgiveness of sins. Harkness was a Baptist commentator who says it may be rendered in order to, or for the purpose of receiving. Harmon was a Methodist commentator. He said, for that ye may obtain remission of sins. Meyer was a German Lutheran commentator, and he said, eis, that's the Greek word, eis, for, denotes the object of the baptism, which is the remission of sins, contacted in the state before metanoia, that is repentance. Now, McClintock was a Methodist commentator. He says, to be baptized for the remission of sins means to be baptized with a view to receiving this. Let's look at a Presbyterian commentator. Scaff, he says, he called his hearers to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, that even they might receive the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thayer was a Congregationalist, and he says it means to obtain the remission of sins. Well, we're to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, does that mean to receive the Holy Spirit as a gift? Some have thought so, and some have thought that might meant to receive some miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. But the very next verse says, for the promise is unto you and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, what is it that they were going to receive? What was the promise? Well, we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, the promise was that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, if they are baptized, the promise is theirs. The easiest explanation I know for the gift of the Holy Spirit is that it is the gift that results when you receive the promise, and the promise is the promise of salvation. So that would be what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. It is the salvation that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, given to us because it is the Holy Spirit that taught us about these. Now, I know that there are other explanations for this, but that seems to be the one that is the easiest. When it says that it would be to your children, it means to the Jews and their descendants. And it goes on and says, all them that are far off, that would include the Gentiles. God calls through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, and all who obey the gospel are called of God. And thus, obeying the gospel, they receive this precious gift of salvation that comes from the heeding the words that were spoken and given to men by the Holy Spirit.